Grateful for the presence of the Lord. I come to you today with a message on my heart from God, and I pray that you will listen intently and you will seek God's face, asking God, what am I to do where I'm at? Like the title of my message this morning, what in the world are we going to do? What in the world are we going to do? Look at your neighbor and say, what in the world are we going to do? And I tell you right now, with that question, I have the answer. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
So with that being said, if you turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 32 as my text today. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. You've heard this passage before, but I want to say it again. And again, listen intently. I was a manager in a meat department for several years. And as those of you that's been managers or own your own business, you understand the process. And you understand that there's times that you give instruction to your employees so that it'll go easier for them and things won't blow up in their face.
Yes. Amen.
Well, you was right, Brother Aaron. It is, and we are living in such critical, crucial times.
Yes.
Not that we are to be overwhelmed, but we are to be prepared.
That's right.
That's exactly the whole message of the wise and unwise virgins.
Yes.
Was Amen. To be prepared.
That's right.
Amen. They all was there. Right. They was all listening. Yes. Only half of them was prepared.
That's right.
Amen.
So with the amount of churches all across Siloam Springs, Arkansas, and the other parts of the country, let us not be the only church that's not prepared.
That's right. Come on.
Okay? And I can't help what others do, but I know what God's laid upon my heart, and I know what He's telling us this morning, and we need to be prepared.
Right.
Amen.
We need to be the wise virgins. So in verse 32 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, it said, "And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times," had understanding of the times. But here's the important thing. And they knew what they ought to do. They not only understood, but they knew what they ought to do.
Amen.
Amen.
The heads of men that were 200 and all their brethren were at their command.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts today. Let the power of the Holy Ghost reveal to us what we ought to do. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. When we start talking about prophecy, you have a few folks that will perk up and really pay attention because they are interested in knowing about the end time and what they should do. While there are others who have a tendency to turn you off on the subject and like an ostrich sticking their head in the sand, having the idea, if I can't see it, it ain't going to happen. I'm reminded of the little boy playing hide and seek. And he's hiding behind the stop sign, just the pole of the stop sign, figuring that nobody else can see him because he has his eyes closed and can't see them.
Come on.
Yeah.
Hello? Isn't that kind of where we are at in prophecy? We got our eyes closed. So if we can't see the issue and can't see the problem, it ain't going to happen. But I'm telling you, that ain't what's going to happen.
That's right. That's right.
So I come to you today with a message from God that whether you're interested or whether you're not interested in prophecy, time and prophecy will move forward and it will be fulfilled. I will tell you that prophecy does interest me greatly. And that's not what necessarily concerns me in this hour that we're living in. Now that we are so fully engulfed in the prophetic times in which we live all over the globe, especially in the Middle East and at home, everywhere,
yes.
We're fully engulfed in prophetic times.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Preach with me just a little bit.
Yes.
Pay attention. Don't fall asleep. Okay, the midnight hour is upon us.
Yes.
It
Amen.
Doesn't take a full-fledged prophet to predict what's going to happen next. Well, I read of one preacher's topics on the last days and on prophecy. His 4 points was this. There is signs of deception.
Yep. Come on.
There is disturbance among the nations. There is signs of devastation. And there are signs of those that will be delivered into tribulation. Folks, it's here.
Yes.
And it didn't take a real wise man or a prophet to understand what we're facing.
Yes.
Now the key is, and what I'm preaching to you today, is what are we going to do about it?
That's right.
And I hope I have honed in on that at this time. We see everything that's happening and going on. But the key is we seek God and we know and we get direction from Him of what we're going to do about it.
Yes. Amen.
While all these things have been prophesied prior to this moment, and while this pastor is dead on with his predictions or with what he has seen in his observations, every child of God should be tuned in enough in what's going on that these things could not and should not and cannot take them off guard.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
I am fully supportive. And I'm going slow for a purpose because this has got to sink in. This may be the moment of the pivotal point of your life to get ready for what's coming. I said this day could be the pivotal point for you to grab a hold of and seek God and know what to do with what's going on. I am fully supportive of biblical prophecy. And those who have been faithful to hear from God and herald that message onto the insight of the future, from David Wilkerson to Perry Stone and to all the true prophets, they have their place like Daniel, Elijah, Joel, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Zechariah, and along with all the others, including John, which wrote the book of Revelation and give us those insights. I'm not preaching to you today a message of gloom and doom.
No.
I'm preaching to you today a message of hope.
Amen.
That's right. Come on. Amen.
And connection with God.
Yes.
That you will not be caught unaware.
That's right. Come on.
Yeah.
Many prophecies that were foretold from the Old Testament up to modern day has been fulfilled. And yet those things that have been foretold is so obvious today, again, that it cannot and should not catch people off guard nor take them by surprise. And certainly, yes, certainly should not overwhelm them, and they cannot neglect the facts. From persecution of the church, applying unrealistic pressure on their personal convictions, to putting restrictions on what we can preach and what we can't preach. Can I tell you their handwriting is on the wall?
Yeah.
Our 501c3, not just nonprofits, but specifically churches, is under attack, along with your tax exemption from the church and especially for the church.
Yeah.
We see an uprising in our world today of false doctrine. Even within the church world. Hate, discontent, rebellious, lawlessness. And just this past, 2 weeks ago now, the murder of a 31-week pregnant woman and her unborn. Literally within the perimeters of our own neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Folks, we better shake ourselves.
Yes. Amen.
And the list goes on and on.
Amen.
We see our nation's farmland.
Yes.
We see our nation's farmland.
Yes.
Farmers are getting paid not to farm.
Yes. Come on.
Milk producers are getting paid not to milk their cows.
Right.
Hello?
Yes.
Come on. Truth.
Yep.
We see things like defunding the police and the criminals having more rights than the victims.
Yes.
And then we can go worldwide with wars and skirmishes on every corner of the globe. Not to mention the Middle East, which has always been a powder keg, but in recent days has become more volatile than ever before. And yet in the midst of those things, that has been prophesied, I assure you today that God is still in control.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah.
Brother Aaron reminded me just a second ago as we were singing one of those songs of something that one of the preachers said a few weeks ago here, that one thing for sure, no problem you face will ever be bigger than what God is.
That's right.
Wow. God is still in control. Look at your neighbor and say, God's in control. Listen, right now, for instance,
thank you, Father.
Right now, the priest in Israel is getting everything ready for the sacrifice of the red heifer.
Yep.
With all the instruments of the Old Testament being reconstruction and the focus pointing back to the Temple Mount, to all being displayed for the world to see, and yet the church world is paying little to no attention.
Right.
Right. Iran has their nuclear weapons and has vowed to wipe out Israel off the face of the map. Russia has invaded Ukraine, ain't no mistake. And as they are controlling the world's wheat surplus and the vast amount of oil there, and yet our administration is squelching our ability to produce oil while we're buying from overseas to support their cause, which we have ample supply.
Amen.
Gotta wake up.
And again, hey, I'm just fixing to start to preach good, so stay with me. The list goes on, and yet we have chosen to turn a blind eye and refuse to see the obvious. Again, let me, repeat myself. You'll get here one of these days. The children of Issachar saw the signs. They had discernment of what was going on. But the key is they knew what to do. Hello? I can normally observe what's wrong with my car or my truck, but I do not have the ability to fix it.
Yeah.
Now, some of you do.
Yes.
Come on.
Okay, so get with my point. Right. We see what's going on in our world today, but we're not educating ourselves or getting a hold of God to know what to do about it.
Come on.
Yes, it is. That's it.
Here's what the writer of the book of Romans says. Romans chapter 13, verses 10 through 14. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. You got neighbors you can't stand?
Yep. Like everyone.
The writer here says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. It doesn't matter how ornery they are. Hello?
Come on.
Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Are you ready for verse 11? And that, knowing the time, that now it's high time to wake out of your sleep.
Yeah.
For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed.
Yeah.
Amen.
The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Your neighbors need light whether they want to see it or not. Those you work with need to see the light. Those that you really can't, you have a hard time getting along with, they need to see the light. Let us walk honestly. As the day, not in rioting or drunkenness, or in their chamberlain or wantingness, nor in strife or envy. In verse 14 it says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make provisions for the flesh to fulfill and not make provisions for the flesh. Let me start over. And put on the arm of the Lord Jesus Christ and not making provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's a higher purpose in your life.
Yes.
This flesh is temporary.
That's right.
Your soul is eternal.
That's right.
So not making provisions for the flesh does not mean that we should not be wise enough to hear from God to know what we ought to do or what we need to put in our cupboards for the days ahead.
Come on.
So here's my plea, church. The signs are so obvious, yet we are so neglectful.
Yes.
In seeking God. For He is the one that has the answers to let us know what we need to do. I can't tell you what to put in your cupboards or to get some extra propane. I can't tell you that. All I know is I've got to seek God.
Right.
Number one, I seek God, and I've been praying, God, help our people to know what to do in these last days.
Amen.
Yes, we have.
Because I don't want you to be neglectful and not preparing for what's ahead of us. And again, this is not scary stuff. This is being prepared.
Yes.
The children of Issachar knew the signs of the time, had discernment, and then they knew what to do about them. That's what I'm trying to prepare you for.
Yes.
Is to know what to do, and you're going to have to seek God to get it.
Yes.
Hello?
Come on.
Don't be neglectful of what the Bible and the prophets are trying to tell us, and then expect everybody else to prepare things for you.
Right.
Kind of sound like the government, doesn't it? Can I tell you, I've never been any more serious in my life. I know what God spoke to my heart 2 weeks ago concerning this.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it's we taking care of each other, but don't be neglectful and expect everybody else to take care of everything for you.
That's right.
So here's my plea. The signs are obvious. Yet we are so neglectful to seek God and allow Him to give us the answer of what to do. The children of Issachar were able to discern the signs of what was going on. But the biggest attribute, somebody say their biggest attribute, was their relationship with the God of Israel that gave them the ability to know what to do about those things in their time frame. We're looking for a sign when we should be seeking the face of Jesus.
Amen.
Because I can tell you right now that God's looking for a man, a woman, or boy, or a girl that will stand in the gap.
That's right.
That will get a hold of the horns of the altar of God and seek God with everything that's within them and stand and discern what God is trying to tell us and what we need to do in the hour that we live. I'm telling you, things are happening mighty, mighty quick. Mighty quick. I probably repeat this, but this is a good time to say this in case I've overlooked it thus far. Bill Gates and the Chinese government's buying farmland all over our country, as fast as they possibly can to obscure the raising of the wheat and crops that we need to produce for our country. So God's looking for a boy, a girl, a man or a woman to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. I'm going to mess up the King's English. We got to get in tune with God.
That's right. Come on.
Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30 and 31 said, I sought for a man among them that they should make up the hedge and stand the gap before me for the land. There's key words that we're missing, church. I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God. There is signs all around about us that are so obvious. The morning sky is red, yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Our concern level is at an all-time low, and we say we're watching with concern, but no change has taken place, and there's no one upon the wall watching. How many's ever went out in the morning early and seen the red sky, and you say, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. Red sky in the evening is a sailor's delight. How many's ever heard that? Those of you who hadn't, you have now.
Amen.
We discern the signs of the time.
Yeah.
The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desiring that they would show them, that he would show them, Jesus, a sign from heaven. You know the difference between the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. And he answered and he said unto them, when it is evening, you say that it is fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto you but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. The sign of Jonas, or Jonah, was that in the days of the coming of the Lord, they'd be drinking, given in marriage, riding, everything going on. That was absolutely a chaotic world that they was living in. Have you ever seen a more chaotic world than you're living in than it is right now? Be not discouraged. Be not dismayed. Our God's in control. But we got to seek His face. I said, we got to seek His face. Our biggest problem is we seek His hands for what He can give us, but we need to seek His face for what He can tell us. The Bible tells us, are y'all bored yet?
No, sir.
Well, then preach with me, okay?
Come on.
Okay. The Bible tells us of the many signs that will be taking place before His coming. There will be a general apostasy across the whole world, a falling away from their faith. The house of Israel that was scattered will be coming home, and they have, and they are. There will be physical calamities will occur all over the world, along with wars and rumors of wars. And our news this past week was one of the very few times that a hurricane hit our coast in the month of November. Watching and praying. Many, many, many other signs, along with wars and rumors of wars and the calamities all over our world. Other signs should be alerting us to be ready and make preparations. Watching and praying. So we see the signs, yet we lollygag from day to day. Y'all know what lollygag means.
Yeah.
Brother Ronnie, would you explain it to those that don't know after church? And we have no idea what to do. No idea what to do. I can tell you, as you all well know, we have a snowstorm here in the next few weeks or few months, and it doesn't take but about 6 hours for the shelves to be totally bare at Walmart and the harvest. And I can also tell you, with the other calamities that's coming on the world, it's going to take less time than that, but there ain't going to be no recovery.
That's right.
So you need to pray and seek God of, what do you want me to do? What do I need to do? Anybody getting anything out of this message?
Amen. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
We've got to seek God and we've got to know what to do. Listen, you can rest assured that when it hits, and it will hit, a few hours, I've already mentioned, a few hours in the grocery store's shelves will be empty. It'll disappear. Your resources is going to disappear more quickly than the morning fog as it vaporizes into the air. Can I tell you, don't think Uncle Sam's going to help you then. They want you to depend upon him now. But when there's no other resources, don't bank on Uncle Sam coming to your rescue. Unless you succumb to their agenda, which will be taking the mark that you can buy or sell. The mark of the beast, and don't kid yourself. This strategy is already on the table and being implemented as I talk to you this morning. And it has you in mind. Hey, I'm coming to you to tell you the voice of God when he spoke to my heart to tell you today. Amen. Letting you know that we have the privilege of going to a heavenly Father that knows exactly what you need to do. Know this. The only way you're going to survive is to seek the face of God and not just discern the times, but have the closest relationship with him that you'll know what to do about those times.
Yes.
Cameron, you ready? Listen, church. We are at a place in our lives that we have become so disconnected with God that we are no longer relevant nor an asset to the world. That's how disconnected we are. Did I wake you up now?
Bravo.
That is the truth.
Some of you are riding in cars you have no business being in there with. Hello? Got your attention now, don't I? I thought very seriously to bring my air compressor. And I've got a little deal on the end of my air compressor hose that when I fill it up with air enough and I pull back the little lever, it'll shoot the end of my little tool off that air compressor. And as I look across the congregation, there's a couple of you I could aim at this morning. So be thankful. Be thankful I didn't bring it. But we like to disconnect quickly.
Yes, come on.
Hello?
Come on.
We want to disconnect quickly. And the problem in our world today, when we so desperately need to connect, we're disconnecting.
Right.
We're bailing. Come on, somebody. We're becoming disconnected with our world.
Yeah.
And this is why I know God spoke to my heart about this, because I didn't read it anywhere, but God spoke to my heart. Listen, we're living in a time and a place where we no longer are connected with God. We become disconnected, and because of that, we're no longer relevant to our world in which we live in. We're disconnected. The sons of Issachar not only understood the times and discerned what was going on, but they actually had a relationship with God that was close enough that they had insight to know what to do, again, about those times. And Romans chapter 13, verse 11 tells us to wake out of our sleep and become proactive. If God's not telling us to become proactive, why is he telling us to wake up? And discern what is going on, but actually have a relationship with God that is close enough that we have insight to know what to do. We have to, church. It's time. It's imperative that we have that relationship with God. It's not that we're not, it's not an ample amount of warning signs, but we have become so sleepy and lethargic that our cognitive is not connecting with the warning signs, and we don't know what to do because we ain't talking to Jesus enough to even know what's going on. If you want to know what to do, you've got to talk to somebody about what's going on. And there ain't nobody better to talk to that knows exactly what's going on than Jesus.
Amen.
I preached to you a few weeks ago about a little orphan girl named Esther who had put her life at stake to save her people. I told you about a little boy named by the name of David, who was not afraid to confront the giants. And today, I'm telling you about John the Baptist that was not afraid to speak up for God and tell the king of his adulterous affair. Even though he lost his head, he went straight to heaven to be with Jesus. I'm reminding you of a man today by the name of Elijah who dared to stand for God and ask God to send fire down from heaven in the midst of a bunch of heathen prophets that did not understand what was going on. So I plead to you today to take me serious and commit yourself into seeking God with all of your heart and to be that individual that will stand in the gap for your family, for your country, for your church, making up that spiritual hedge so to make up a difference in these critical and crucial times. I beseech you from the bottom of my heart for someone in this place to be like Joseph and dare to take a stand in the midst of familiar friends and family and become a savior and a voice through all kinds of adversity to save your family and a savior of the country. We need each other and we need church more than ever before.
Yes, amen.
It's not a time to stay home and watch videos.
No YouTube.
The pandemic that we just went through and they still try to keep pushing it up was not your friend, but was your enemy in more ways than you can discern. Genesis chapter 41, verse 14 said, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph and brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and cleaned up his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh." You understand, this may seem minimal, this verse here of Joseph. He's been in the prison with the rats and with all the other filth. He cleaned up, he shaved, he put on new clothes before he went before the king. That made him cognitive of what his agenda was when he went before the king. We need to clean ourselves up from the world. Clear our minds. Be sober and be vigilant in the hour that we're living in, that when we go before the king, we can hear his agenda and know what to do.
Amen.
And you all miss that.
Amen.
It's time. It's time we wake out of our sleep. Joseph was brought out of the jail, got cleaned up before he went before the king. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I had a dream, and there is none that can interpret it except those that was in conviction with God." Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, "It is not me, but it's God." Not me, but it's God. Verse 16. Joseph said again, "It ain't me, but God, the God that I serve, got the key to the situation and the key to this dream." Verse 25 of Genesis 41, and Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. These two dreams about the cattle and about the corn, they're one thing. And what do we need to do about it? The seven kind and the 7 ears of corn, there's coming a famine. There's going to be some things that you can do to get ready for that famine. There's going to be some good years, and then there's going to be some bad years.
Yep, come on.
There's going to be some good ears, and there's going to be some bad ears of corn.
Come on, that's right. Amen.
Yeah.
Let us hear with our ears.
Verse 28 says, "This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he will show unto you, Pharaoh."
Amen.
Behold, there are 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of famine. Man, I wish I could just preach to you today. That I could just come to you, get across to you, that we need some Josephs in our time. Listen, life wasn't easy for Joseph. Hmm? They ain't nothing worse than when your family turns against you.
Yeah. Come on.
Hello?
Amen. Sold them.
And then to be sold into people that look like anything but people. And then they take you to a foreign country and sell you again. And then God exalts you. And then you're lied about.
Yeah.
Hello?
Come on.
He didn't say it's going to be a bed of roses, but he's making a Joseph out of you.
Amen. Come on.
Did you hear me, church?
Amen.
I said he's making a Joseph out of you. Joseph could have never accomplished what he was supposed to accomplish till he went through the ups and downs of his life to get where he was going.
That's right.
So don't begrudge what you're going through. Just say, "God, make me that Joseph that you need me to be. And I can save my household. I can save a country. I can save those around me. And I can bring restitution. I can bring peace together in all these times." I could go over and tell you, I've got about 2 more pages left. But
come on.
That's okay.
I really feel like I've preach to you what you need to know. God's looking for a man, woman, boy, or girl that'll seek his face and stand the gap and make up the hedge. God's desperately looking for someone that'll be a Joseph and go through all the stuff that they got to go through. That they become stronger, they become wiser, and they become more equipped to do what God has for them to do. Joseph, and all of his wisdom from God, was made second in command in Egypt under Pharaoh. And he was able to carry the sepulcher and do everything. But he had the people in mind first because he had connections with God. He stored up for 7 years. And then when famine come, he was able to redeem those that needed help. Here I am today, church, telling you that we are living at the end of those days that are prosperous and that you can get some things accomplished, but the days are running short. When would you ever believe that for 18 eggs you'd give $5 for them? Hello? When would you ever believe for 2 pounds of butter you'd give $7 for it?
Yeah, come on.
Big kickers, I love cashews. I had to pay $16 for a little box the other day. Will I do it again?
Yep.
Probably.
Love so much.
But my point is, church, we're at the end of that prosperous years.
Yes.
Don't be fooled.
That's right.
We're at the end of those prosperous years. We have griped and moaned and groaned about gas prices being like they are, and rightfully so. Can I tell you again? We are at the end of those prosperous years.
Come on.
The lean years are coming, and I'm talking about lean years coming. We need to be ready. We need to hear the voice of God. We need to hear the voice of God.
Amen.
Verse 38 says, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Our world is craving someone that has the Spirit of God inside of them, that walk up and down the street and their integrity follows them and they understand what we need to do. God has showed this And there is none so discreet and wise as you are, Joseph, because you have heard from God. Verse 56 of chapter 41, I'm closing. Crispy and Tammy would come. When the famine was spread all over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians. For the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was so severe in all the world. And to top that off, when Joseph's daddy down in Goshen heard that there was a food in Egypt, he sent his boys to buy some, not knowing the surprise that was waiting for them. Wouldn't that be totally awesome that we would get a band of men and women in this church that would get the insight of God to know what to do? And in those desperate, dry, lean years, that we would have the wisdom and the knowledge that God has given us, that we could reach out and be the salvation of those around about us that desperately needed help. How many wants to be a Joseph? Yeah, with that comes great responsibility, but it's in you. I said it's in you. Look at your neighbor and say, Joseph's in you. Joseph's in you. You've got to get a hold of God. Joseph's in you. Would you stand with me all over the building today? Heavenly Father, I come to you right now, Lord, and I pray, God, that the Spirit of the Holy Ghost will shake us and move us to a place, God, that we see that we are headed fastly to those lean years, and we're at the end of those prosperous years, and somebody's got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to take a stand. Somebody has got to say, here am I, Lord, here am I. I'll stand in the gap. I'll be a watchman on the wall. Lord, we look to you, God. We need you, Lord. We need you desperately. We need you desperately. Speak to our hearts today, God. We know that we are not forsaken. And Lord, that we can call upon you. And there ain't nothing that we face is bigger than you are. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you. God, put your loving arms all around us, Lord, and give us the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord, not only to see, but to know. Lord, I love you and I appreciate you, Jesus. As they sing this song, how many lift your hands toward heaven? Say, Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, I long to be a Joseph and what you would have me to do. Let me hear what you have to say to me. Help me to know, God, and prepare and look for the future.